This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q. Now, if you guys think of genres of music today and how difficult it's getting, how tricky it is to say what certain musicians produce. You know, there are going to be those time-honored and true patrons of a certain sound, and you'll be like, yes, that's country, or yes, that's rock, or yes, that's, you know, whatever it decides it's going to be, death metal opera. not really partaking of the death metal opera variety of things, Mr. David Francy would probably lean more towards roots, I think.
Yeah.
Although he's a guy who's got... there's a variance of roots there specifically when you look at where he's from. Born in Scotland and moved to Canada around the age of 12, and has been around these parts and here and there since then. Broke onto the music scene at the very tender age of his mid-40s, and decided to wait until he, you know, had to dust his first Juno at least once before quitting the day job. I think that roots is the perfect way to describe what David Francy produces.
Oh, nice, Sheila. That was a nice one. I have to agree with you. That's probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
Now, you've got this widespread appeal. When I was talking to friends about the fact that I was going to be interviewing you today, the most interesting, eclectic group of people got very excited.
Oh, really?
About this.
Oh,
so your return to to play in the townships on the 22nd of September at the Piggery, yeah, is very anticipated, my friend.
Oh, that's great. It certainly is from this end. I mean, I love the townships, and we were very sorry to leave, tell you the truth, and left a whole lot of friends there and a really lovely life, and you know, just the world dictated that's what we had to do, but it was certainly not a happy thing for us. So anytime I can get back, I'm delighted, and you know, it never ceases to just please me completely when I get back there.
Now, it's kind of seems that you were sort of pushed into the limelight, kind of thing. Tell me about how. Now, now your career is a dozen years in the making or so. But tell me how things initially got started there. Convincing you to be up on stage.
Yeah, well, it was the last thing I was looking for, and I wrote songs, Sheila, that's what I did, and you know, I worked in construction for 20 years, and a good 11 of them with my great friend Ian McGregor from North Hatley, and I lived in Ayerscliff at the time, and my wife Beth heard the songs and, you know, started telling me I should be doing something with them other than putting them in a book and, you know, moving on to the next one. And I had some musical friends down there under the auspices of a band called Blue Moon, and great folks, and they allowed me to play with them a little bit, and that got me started. And then I played the Cliff House, and we played a night there, and that was a, you know, sellout and a hell of a night, and kind of put me on the right path. And Beth gave me the shove, and at Townshippers Day, CBC heard me, and that helped me get my first album done. And from there on, I was very lucky indeed. I won a Juno with a second, and I quit construction when we won the Juno.
Wow, that's just, yeah. You know, it's, how would you say, like, talk to me about how things feel being that you were basically a lifelong manual worker,
yeah,
in carpentry, if I'm correct,
yeah,
on that one.
Yeah, construction in general, yep.
Now, let me know, like, describe for me and the listeners what it means to be at this completely different line of work and then to move on into this career of music.
Yeah,
like, what's that like?
Well, it was monumental, as you can imagine, you know. And I keep telling people I didn't quit construction because I didn't like it. I loved it, and I loved the boys I worked with too. They've remained great friends over the years. It was sensational to win the Juno with the second album. It really was, and I thought the first one was great, and I really enjoyed doing it. But I never really expected to do another one. And then, you know, lo and behold, we made the second and it won. And, that was almost surreal. We're sitting with our fellow nominees in St. John's, Newfoundland, and, you know, they announced my name, and it was just unbelievable. So everything just sort of snowballed from there on in, you know. We decided, Beth and I, to go into music full time, and you know, took a good hard run at it, and looked at all the pitfalls with it, and decided we could handle them, and went at it full tilt, and it's worked out. But surreal would be the best word I could think of. I mean, the last thing I ever expected. I didn't chase it, you know. I wasn't looking for it. None of it. It was just a serendipitous thing, and it was the greatest stroke of luck in my life, apart from meeting Beth, I would imagine.
Now, speaking of Beth, there's a song dedicated to her on this album, Grateful.
Yes.
It is. Now, every girl wants a guy to write a song like that. Like, that's the, I think it's the ultimate in love and appreciation, and what a beautiful track. That one's definitely going to be played on the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think she likes it quite a bit. You know. She's always been there for me, and, you know, I'm a mercurial person. You know, I could go in a hole for a long, long time, and you know, I never want to go on tour. I'm always grumpy and, you know, just don't want to leave the house. But the minute I'm out on the road, I'm thinking, oh, great, back on tour, you know. So I'm one of those people. I mean, she puts up with that, you know, year in, year out, and I just wanted to write her something to say thank you, essentially.
I'm a mercurial person. I'm stealing that. That's I'm, yes.
Drop in. Drop in. Here we go.
Hey, you know, in reading comments that people have made about you and your work and your career, I have to say that I think, as a Canadian girl and a great lover of music and sports, I was most impressed to read Ron McLean's comment on your career, like one of Canada's outstanding poets, songwriters, and storytellers. Now, okay, here we have our man at Hockey Night in Canada, but also Ron McLean's background and interest in music is like as long running, and before his time in hockey.
Oh,
so
yeah.
what a cool thing to have.
Oh, yeah, and I always loved Ron. I mean, the minute he came on Hockey Night in Canada, my Saturday nights got better, and so I've always been a fan, and I got to play in the Juno Cup, which Jim Cuddy organized, you know, and it's the Musicians Against NHL Old Timers, and because I'm so old, I got to be the goalie for the NHL Old Timers. So I got to play with Ron and take the bus ride with him out to Hinton, Manitoba from Winnipeg. And he's just, you know, you know how nice he seems in TV?
Yeah.
Well, he's absolutely way nicer in person, and incredibly interesting man, really, really bright. And you know, you couldn't pass a better hour with anybody than that man. So when he came out with that, I was pretty happy to hear that.
That's quite remarkable. Huge compliment.
Huge compliment. And just them taking the song and using it for Hockey Day and finally getting to perform it, you know, on the TV and then hang around all the whole weekend with the boys, it was just an incredible thrill. And I'm a huge hockey fan, you know. I bleed blue and white for the old Maple Leafs. So
David!
Sorry, I know that disappoints most people.
Bleu, blanc, rouge!
I know. Well, you know, you can lord it, that's for sure. I'll give you that. But you can't change what you are.
No, that's true.
I'm an eternal optimist on the hockey front. You have no choice, but, you know.
Hey, you know what? I think even every year, everybody's got to be an eternal optimist.
Yeah, true, actually.
Two teams are going to get there, and one's going to win. So
it was super. I'm a huge hockey fan. That's the one thing, when you tour in the States, man, in hockey time, especially playoffs, it's such a bummer because you hardly catch a game, you know. So,
well, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm only pouring over the newspaper every single day to see what happens.
Just get the stats.
at least that. Yeah, I have to have that. My day's not complete till I've, you know, peruse those.
So speaking of the news,
yes.
your latest album, Late Edition.
Yes.
Now there's this idea of bringing together world news and personal, and recorded in. Okay, now I've got to say that I think as Canadians we're funny beasts, because we decide that when Canadian artists do really well, somehow we have accomplished something ourselves.
I
sort of wanted a gold star myself when I read. It's like, stick that on there somewhere. Sheila Quinn recorded in Nashville with none other than, yes, as quoted, as the godfather of American.
Yeah, brilliant quote,
Kieran
King. Yeah. Well, Kieran's incredible pal of mine, and you know, I met him in Winnipeg, and he didn't know me from a hole in the ground, but I knew who he was, you know, and we're doing a workshop stage, and I went over and introduced myself, and he and Kev are sitting there under the tree and got their shades on. I said, "How you doing, man? I'm really pleased to meet you, Kieran. I've been a big fan." He goes, "Yeah, man, nice to meet you. Yeah, we'll see you on the stage, bud. Great," you know. And then we got on the stage, and I opened my mouth to sing last, and he said he was just poleaxed, and he hunted me down right after the thing, and said, "Man, we got to talk, Francie." And I had the first album out at that point, and he asked me down to Nashville to record with him, and I said, "Well, I got some things I want to do in Canada first," so I put out the next two albums in Canada, and then I called him up and said, "I'm ready to come down," and he says, "Come on down," and we did it. We did like Waking Hour down there, and that was great fun, live off the floor, you know, as immediate as you can get.
Yep.
And we did this one the same way. I just felt like a change up, and, you know, we're great pals and co-writing friends as well. So we had a couple we'd co-written together, and it seemed like a nice opportunity for me not to have the pressure of producing the album. So I just asked Kieran to produce it and, you know, play on it. And it turned into a great deal of fun in a, you know, just a very immediate kind of way. I think the result was great, you know.
And Late Edition, tell me about choosing that. Now, so to me, I'm big on naming things. I'll, like, name whatever exists in my house. You know, the couch has a name.
Oh,
that,
my.
You know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And
what's your couch's
it's,
name?
It's Big Red. And,
Big
and
Red.
It's Big Red and obnoxious, and his name is Il Divo.
So,
to me, like, the idea of naming something is very, like, that's a sacred thing.
Yep,
so tell me about deciding on Late Edition.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like all the songs on it, and usually I've titled it the songs, the albums off of the songs, but I thought yesterday's news might be a little bit too prophetic, so, but I was looking at the lyrics, and I saw Late Edition, you know, and that song, Yesterday's News, which mm-hmm. is the first song in the album, so I thought it's rather appropriate, since I really did feel like it was about world news and my own news and local and everything, and I just thought it would be ideal, because I felt like I was late getting this album out, you know. I really expected to have it done the year before, and you know, I just toured too much and didn't have time to do it, and so when it came out, I thought, well, it'll be an appropriate title, Late Edition. It'll hearken to newspapers and news itself, and it'll also describe how I'm feeling. That, you know, I'm sorry I didn't get it out a little bit sooner.
It's got to happen when it's supposed to happen, though, now.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I know that's absolutely true, but if you don't cut yourself time, then you know, it doesn't happen when you'd like to do it. So I was just glad we finally got it done, and I had so much fun making it. It was, you know, it was really one of those magical moments for me.
One of the things that I love about it is there's a sound on this album that I find, like, I've always been a fan of anything that had, like, a bayou feeling to it, like, for example, John Fogerty's Blue Boy album.
Oh gosh, yeah, Fogerty's fantastic.
Which and that's the feel that I get from Late Edition. There's I feel like it's the dock, it's night, there's somebody's playing a jug. while drinking out of it, perhaps.
Having emptied it, yeah, I know.
Somebody has no teeth and is wearing overalls with no shirt.
Yeah, it does have that. You know, you were mentioning earlier about Kieran being the godfather of, which is a brilliant quote, by the way. I got to send that to him because he's gonna love it. But, you know, of Americana music. And you know, with the last album we did when, you know, Juno with it, I did it with Craig Worth, and, you know, wonderful album, I think. I loved it. Rite of Passage, but it was very trad, you know. It had essentially a trad sound, and
mm-hmm.
this one harkens to the root side of things, and that's why I went with Kieran, of course, and nobody better, I think, going around in the roots, you know, certainly Americana music these days than him, and it was just like a master session with him, so I was very pleased about that.
It's got a flavor that's different.
Yeah.
It's like it's got that it's boards and boots and the night air. I don't know. It's just got
It was really an organic thing, you know. Like, we just got together the night before at Kieran's house, ran the tunes we were going to do the next day, you know, maybe once, possibly twice, and then showed up at the studio and did everything live. So after we finished the take, we just say, like, who screwed up? And then, you know, whoever raised their hand, we just say, okay, well, let's do another one. And we just kept doing that until we got one that worked, and the whole album's done like that. So it's no overdubs, no nothing, just get going and get it done. And it was a wonderful way to record, you know, and it makes it so immediate and, you know, very, very thrilling way to record.
Well, thank you so much for putting this out for us, Mr.
Well,
David Francie.
Late
edition is out now, guys. And September 22nd at the Piggery Theater.
Piggery, yeah. I see some friends.
I hope so there.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to run into you. That'll be grand, Sheila. So, and thanks again for the interview. And long live CJMQ and the record. They've both been really great to me. And it'll be wonderful to get back down into the township. So.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, Sheila.